Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is alive and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so much to say and has so much ground to cover. The wisdom of God is with us. We have access to all knowledge, whatever we want to know. Now the Lord, he can there's no subject he can't train us on. And he can just like the word said, he can guide us into all truth. And he can help us understand whatever we need to understand in this life. Now, the word guide, it represents the fact that there's nothing that he can't teach us. He can guide us into it. But it also suggests that he wants us to do our part on our end. In other words, you're trying to do something. Usually when hunters go hunting in a foreign country, they'll get a guide to help them hunt so that their trip would be more likely to be successful. They know where the game is. The natives do. And they know more about the land, the terrain, the ways of the animals, and they can guide them. But they're going to use their skills. They just need a guide. Now, what the Holy Spirit is helping us to do is what our part is. Jesus Christ made salvation possible for everybody in the world. Everybody. And our quest is to win souls, find people that want to be saved, tell them about it so that they can know. And whoever gets saved, he has a structure to help them grow, has teachers and pastors to help them grow up, has evangelists to get them saved in the first place. He has prophets to help them know what to look for. These are extensions of the Holy Spirit. There are five offices that the Holy Spirit reaches us through. The apostle, the prophet, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now the apostle, that's what the Lord called me to do. And I didn't really know what in the world an apostle does, but I had the office and the anointing for it. And I watched. The Lord trained me about things that goes on with the church. And most of my revelation is about the church, his people. And you can judge an office by the revelation that the Lord brings to you. Now, most of the revelation he gave me concerning my duties, I didn't know to ask for it. He came to me with it because he called me for this purpose. And now what I do, from there I receive the information, I speak it, and I minister life to his people according to his perfect will. The apostle can actually function in whatever God needs him to help bring about the perfect will of God. And they have to govern the church. And when the body operates in order, then God can do more with it. Now there are things that an apostle can learn that others may not know, that they may not learn. And whenever you reach a crisis, God has people out there to be a blessing. Now, a lot of people looking at, well, if one office is bigger than another one, there's the office of an apostle. Jesus may have put it first, but all of them are very important. And how far we go with our office is up to us and how we yield to the Holy Spirit. In other words, a teacher came up last, but very important. Remember, teachers teach apostles. Apostles help do their office, and teachers come out of it. And so do prophets. So prophets prophesy and anoint people, and apostles come out of their office. out of their work. The office is given by the Holy Spirit to do a function. In other words, The Lord can use me to pastor if he need me to for a while, but my main off, what I'm supposed to be dedicated to is an apostle. That doesn't mean that I'm better than somebody else. And somebody of another office, they may have a greater ministry at the time. See, their pastors, they have a, their ministry can look greater than somebody who's just starting out as an apostle. But the anointing in the office still has its own purpose. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in all truth. And he has people out there that can bless you. Now, sometimes people, they think that they can bypass others so that they can look better. Now, that's worldly. Remember, if the Holy Spirit is guiding you, it doesn't suggest that he's going to do everything for you and teach you so that you can look better than everybody else. That's not the way it works. We have to be faithful with those that God set in our path. I have a pastor. My pastor has a function. There are many things the Lord teaches me, but there are many things that my pastor has said that has blessed my life and helped me do my work. I needed him. There were times I was sick, he prayed for me, and I got healed. See, it all works together. We, by the Holy Spirit, we work together. We're all on the same team. We're doing the same commission. It's only one work, guided by one Holy Spirit. We just have different functions to do one work. But if we do it Satan's way, we gotta find a way to be on top and look better than everybody else. Put other people down. That's pride, and that's what God rejects. And I'm glad he does. He don't want pride to build his kingdom. He don't need pride to help build his kingdom. He want people to love him and build it by faith. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. We should never attempt at any time to be in some form of crazy competition with each other. We're on the same team. Now, it's out there. People do this all the time because they don't know what to watch out for. Just like we said in yesterday's broadcast, there are people who have not dealt with worldly issues. And it shows up in the course of their life until they kill it. You have to get rid of sin. You can't leave the Canaanites in your Jerusalem heart. You got to drive out the things of darkness because they will work against you. And you can't ever trust the world's ways. Whatever we do on this side, if we pay attention to the Holy Spirit and do things according to his guidance, you may not even know to watch out for some things, but watch how he guides you. Consider the word of God. Consider how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and then laid his life down and died for them. And then he came back and counseled them. And he ascended in their sight, left them in charge to be a blessing to us. And we're going to be a blessing to the following generation. So it's all about serving God. Now, the different functions is not something to get caught up in. I just saw something. Satan made 5 statements that got him in trouble. There were 5 ascensions. 5 ascensions that he talked about. He was going to, found in Isaiah 14. He was going to rise above the stars, the clouds. He was going to sit on in the sides of the north and be over the congregation of the Lord. He was going to be like the Most High. And then there are 5 offices: teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. We can't look at our our offices like he did the societies of God. There were five societies he wanted to ascend over. Now, in within the societies, there are stars, there are clouds, you know, that, but he was really talking about the people, the realms that he was going to conquer and be like the Most High. And now we're in a situation where if we follow the guidance of the offices that God has provided, then we'll be like Jesus. Until all are one. You know, look at the paradigm of that. God, he wanted to ascend and be like the Most High. And now we look unto Jesus, use the offices that he gave, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the living word of God, and we become like him. Like he is, so are we in this world. And I'm laughing because I just saw something that I didn't realize before. Jesus is helping us to be like the Most High. And Satan got in trouble for trying to conquer and take God's place. Now we're going to endeavor to be just like God to serve. But he endeavored to be just like God for pride. It's told that it's two different things, same action. We're trying to be a blessing to people. And pastors and preachers do get in competition. And it's not God's will. That's more like what Satan was doing. That is what Satan was doing. He was in competition. But by the Holy Spirit, what I've learned from him, he's holy. All of these people who operate in the offices are holy. The offices are holy. And their work is holy. And it should be regarded. But what happens is in the church, there's so much worldliness that some preachers feel like, I'm ahead of you, I don't have to listen to you. You're beneath me. And if they had peacock feathers, they'll be all radiant around their head. And that's bad. But when you're seeking, when you're looking unto the Lord will use the most unlikely people to say what you need at the time. It doesn't matter what office they hold. I just like for people to do their job. And I receive from God's people. And they fought a war to tell me something. Because every time God gave me a word, Satan tried to get in my way. Every time. But I learned to conquer him. I had to learn to win so that I could tell people the word that God had given me. And I know what people go through when they receive a revelation for somebody. The enemy's trying to block it with all he's got. And like we said yesterday, he has to fight us on our level. So he tried to get me not to do what God was giving me to do. And he still does. I just conquer him. So I have a healthy respect for people who pull it off and do God's work and tell me what God put on their heart. And I like to think there's no pride in me. And I check and I make sure. I even speak the word so that there's no chance of it. I confess that I hate pride. And then, to top it all off, I carry myself in a way that there's no pride. Because proud people don't like to recognize others. They like to be on top. They like to seem the most important. But when I see my Savior, he came and he became a man. He had to grow. He lived among us. He walked among us. He was here. He was on this planet as a man. And he had to learn. And he was guided by the Holy Spirit. And he did the things that the Holy Spirit gave him to do. And then he died for me. And he rose again, justified me, washed me in his blood. And sent the Holy Spirit to train me and teach me. And guide me. And then he sent me good pastors. And men of God, women of God, to say things that I needed. And some of the things that I needed didn't come from people that were called to the ministry, to the fivefold ministry. Some of them were just kind Christians, people that just love God and had a relationship with Him. And no matter who I learned from, the people who have said the most profound things were people who loved God and had a relationship with Him. See, it's all about relationship. The office is something that you got to dedicate to. You got to do something with it. And anybody can be called to an office. It's a grace, just like our salvation. It's a grace. And what qualifies us is the anointing. That's a grace. That's a big grace. The Lord anointed me and He trained me to carry this anointing and the office. Some things He teaches because of what He called me to do. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for the office. I didn't ask for, you know, the office of an apostle. I didn't ask for that. Didn't really want it. Didn't know to want it. I know I want it now because I know what God can do with it. But at first I was looking at me. I didn't think I could handle it. I didn't know what to do with it. I felt put on the spot. I actually wanted to run, but I didn't know, I didn't have nowhere to go. And plus I made a vow that I would obey God. So I was stuck with that vow and that calling, and I had to walk it out. I said, well, if this is what I got to be, I'm going to have to learn some things. I don't know what to do, Lord. Show me what to do. You know, you can't run. Sometimes you just have to face things. And I learned that if you do face things, you can conquer it because you're more than a conqueror. The Word of God says we're more than a conqueror. So, what's the matter? Why not look? If you stand for what you believe in, you're going to find out that you're more than a conqueror. Satan's going to try to stop you. You're going to conquer him, and he's going to try to manage you, but you end up managing him. He tried to stop you, but you stop him. That's what I mean by managing him. You stop him. You put him to flight and not let him put you to flight. And you find out, yeah, you can do this. And then you do that, and then the next thing God give you, you do that too. And then the next thing God give you, you do that too. But I remember sometimes I would give people the word, and they would be offended at my age or at my calling, because they, you know, people, some pride don't want to answer to people. But sometimes people have what you need, and you have to see them. Now, my pastor, he has an anointing to heal. And sometimes the Lord had put on his heart what to pray for through a word of knowledge. And if that's the pain I have, I go immediately and get healed. I'm not offended that he has this gift that I need, and I'm supposed to be the big apostle that can do everything. It doesn't work that way. The Lord never came to me with a healing gift. I know people that He did. And I asked him why. He told me he had a reason for it. But Pastor laid hands on me so I could lay hands on others. And when I lay hands on people, they get healed. Because I'm around people that He can't be around. And the Lord can heal through anybody. But that's not one of the gifts that He gave. He gave me three gifts that operate in my ministry. Gift of prophecy, which is prophetic utterance. A word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. And that operates in my ministry. All nine gifts don't operate in my ministry. But those are the three that the Lord gave me, and those are the three I need. And those are the three that works in my ministry continually. Now, the other thing, the Lord speaks a word of knowledge to me, and then I speak a word of wisdom to others. That's how my ministry works. And the Lord, some people, He calls them to speak a word of knowledge. They can tell you what time of day you said, what you said, what you was wearing, where you were at, and everything. I don't have that gift. But the Lord has shown me things, and then He'll give me a word of wisdom. Now, the Lord loves us. It's all about love and how we handle love and how we want to serve people. Without love, power is dead. And if all power without love is nothing but death, you have to have the element of love for everything to work right. And you have to have much love in your heart to do the things of God. I'm not going to do the work of God because I'm motivated by pride. Because Jesus said, do nothing. Don't do anything for vainglory. So whatever I do, I ain't going to do it for vainglory, because God said, don't do that. That's a work he can't use. It's tainted. He wants you to do a holy work. Do it by love. And a lot of people are going to stand before the Lord when he come back and point to their works and what they did, and he going to say, I never knew you, because their motives were all defiled. Everything they did was out of pride and not out of the love of God. And it breaks my heart when people allow pride in their life and they won't get it out, because I know that they're not going to go as far as they can. They're doing a thriving work, but when they enter pride, it all goes haywire, because it's not a thing. It's not something God can use. It's a blight. It's a problem. And it works. It throws people off track. That's where the tares come from. Because tares are always motivated by pride. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move mightily in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.